The Celebration of Faith. After his dialogue with the Lord in chapters 1 and 2, the prophet Habakkuk sings in the third chapter of his book. The peculiar Hebrew word, shigionoth, means a cry to God of a soul in trouble. This is his response. He doesn't say he understands, but he demonstrates that he trusts. I heard, O Yahweh, I heard your words, but I was afraid. And then he makes a prayer, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, reveal thy will. Now this is a difficult time in every project. Very easy to begin. First week of any enterprise is full of enthusiasm. And it's not too difficult to end. The last 2 days before a church building is opened or a school is opened, enthusiastic workers can see the ceremonies that are just around the corner, and they are ready to work night and day so that when the celebrities come, everything will be in readiness. But it's in between, in the midst of the years, when things seem to go slow. And the prophet Habakkuk, realizing that how long is long, he says, Lord, in the midst of the years, keep on your revelation. Revive thy work. In wrath, remember mercy. And then the spirit of prophecy comes upon him in a very wonderful vision. Verse 3. The Lord came from Teman, that is, the land in the east, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Now the word Selah means think of it. Stop, pull over on the soft shoulder, switch the motor off, and think. So he begins with a cry to the Lord, and the Lord then indicates to him he is to stop and think. Jesus is coming. His glory is going to cover the heavens and the earth, full of his praise. Revelation 18, 1-3. This is the picture. He's wondered about it. God has told him that the earth is going to be full of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Now he sees it. The glory is covering the heavens and the earth. The brightness was like the light. And out of his hands, the seat of his power, the secret of his power, the nail-pierced palms, feet, horns, symbol of strength and energy, bright beams come streaming, calling attention to Calvary and the victory of the resurrection morn. Before him go the plagues, and beyond the plagues, fire and brimstone, burning coals. He stood and measured, meted, weighed up the earth. He separated the nations, drove asunder. Like the sheep and the goats are driven asunder. The everlasting mountains were scattered. We read about this in Revelation 6. Yet, his ways are everlasting. They go from age to age. Now is the age when he is taking control. I saw the tents of Ethiopia, Africa, in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian, Arabia, did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Rivers, in symbolic scripture, refer to irrigating, nurturing, nourishing streams that help crops to grow. The river that flows out of the sanctuary is found in Ezekiel chapter 47. In Isaiah 8, we read of the river of Assyria, a philosophy that overwhelmed Israel. Was the Lord displeased with human philosophies of life that nurture and nourish their existence? Was God's anger against these rivers? Was he angry against the people, the seas? He rides upon his horses and chariots of salvation, Revelation 19. At that time thy bow, even thy word, was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, the covenant that he had made. Think about it. At that time God's word is going to be realized and understood. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers, separating it into sections with different philosophies of life. Mountains trembled. Waters passed by. The deep uttered his voice. The sun and the moon stood still, the light of thine arrows. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. This is again the plagues. And its thresh. Threshing is the end of the harvest. The harvest is the end of the world. Here is the gathering of the harvest in the wrath of God. Revelation 15. The plagues contain the anger of God. Now while he is doing this to the heathen, verse 13, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. This is what he is coming for. The end of Hebrews chapter 9, to them that look for him shall he come a second time, without sin unto salvation. While the heathen are being threshed, God is coming for the salvation of his people, even for salvation with thy Messiah, with the Anointed One. So Jesus comes with the glory of the Father and the glory of the angels for the salvation of his people. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked. This is Genesis 3 verse 15, when the head is going to be finally trampled on by the heel of the seed, which is Christ. And the reason why the head is going to be wounded of wickedness incarnate is by exposing the foundation of his life, which is his neck. It wags his head. And so God is going to show the real works of the wicked one. Three times we've had this term, the wicked. It means the wicked one, pointing to Satan behind Babylon the Great. He is going to be exposed, discovered, by showing, making naked to the neck that wags his head. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. The prophet here identifies himself with God's people, and he sees the wicked seeking to annihilate the righteous. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Right at the end, a secret decree is going to be made, at which time the wicked are to be destroyed. But thou didst walk through the sea, the peoples, with thy horses, with heaped up great waters. This is Revelation 19 again. When I heard, Habakkuk says, my belly trembled, my lips quivered, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled. And what was his great desire? That I may rest in the day of trouble. Isn't that what we read of in Revelation and Isaiah? Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. They shall rest. Their works follow them. When Habakkuk thought of the time of trouble, he says, Lord, let me rest when that time comes. When he cometh up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now there seems to be a pause. And the prophet Habakkuk ends with a very moving personal testimony. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Matthew 24 talks about a fig Christ cursed the fig tree without fruit, only leaves, it's not even blossoming. Neither shall the fruit be in the vines, and the olive shall fail. With what these symbolize, the fields shall yield no meat. On a literal level, what he is saying here is, although there is famine. Now, since he is dealing in symbols, this goes beyond the literal. The corn and the wine and the oil, bread of life, the oil of the Spirit, the wine of the new covenant, the fig tree that should represent God's people, that should bring forth fruit. Although there may be a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word. The flock shall be cut off from the fold and no herd in the stall. Very few people, God's good shepherd, herdsman, find very small flocks and herds. Yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will joy in Elohim, who brings my salvation. For Yahweh Elohim is my strength. He will make my feet. Feet in the sign language of Bible is a sign of possession and of journeying, of pilgrimage. Like hinds, like deer feet, gazelles, skip, jump, don't slip on slippery rocks. He will make me walk in my high places. In Zechariah chapter 3, this is a promise given to the remnant that obey the commandments of God. I will give thee paths to walk among those that stand by. My safe places. So in this prophecy of Habakkuk, we see the progress of the prophet's thinking. How long, Lord, are all these injustices and the apparent success of Satan and his emissaries and his great representative, Babylon the Great, on this planet? How long is all this going to be? And the Lord says, now look at history. See what happens to Babylon and Judah. Babylon overcomes Judah. But in process of time, the king of Babylon attributes his success to his own god. His mind changes, becomes an animal. Babylon disappears. See this, that I, Yahweh, am in control. I work from age to age. All right, says Habakkuk, I'll go to the sanctuary and I will see what he says in this revelation of the plan of salvation, so that I can answer when people argue with me. And the Lord says the vision is for an end festival. I'm going to clean up things. I'm going to bring justice to force at an end festival, which is the Day of Atonement. The vision may seem to tarry. Wait. It won't be long. It'll come to pass. The just must live by the faith of Jesus. Write this vision so that all who see it may escape from the wrath to come. Babylon has done many things. Babylon has assumed power, has assumed possession, has assumed the control of doctrines, has filled up the cup of its iniquity, has violently destroyed all opposers, who has set up various graven images. But the Lord is still in his temple. Hold on. One day it will be all settled. And as Habakkuk continues to cry to the Lord, the Lord turns his mind to the second coming. And at the second coming, he sees there is a division. sheep and goats. The philosophies of life, the rivers that have nurtured mankind, are dried up, and he who comes from the east is ready to make his word clearly known. And the wickedness of Satan the head, destroyed by the heel. The prophet sees that God's people go through trouble. He sees that there is a secret death decree, but he also sees that God marches as a conqueror through this world for salvation with his Messiah. I want to rest in that day, says Lord. Keep me faithful. And the Lord's peace enters his mind, and he is ready to say, although everything on which I rely ceases to be, I will yet rejoice in the Lord, because the Lord gives me strength, he tells me where to place my feet, he assures me of a place among eternal spectators. How do we maintain full assurance? Through the vision of God given to the prophet Habakkuk.